What is up? Welcome to another episode of The Joe Show. I know last week, or last episode, we got off the cancer story for a week, but we're back. And as you can see, the title is Bumps in the Road, and you're about to figure out why. So after the first month of chemotherapy, the main goal is to be in full remission. But for me, that didn't happen. It was in enough remission to say it was in remission, but not like full-on, full-blown, no leukemia cells at all. There was a tiny bit left. So that was kind of concerning. And when I was diagnosed, I was 15, and that's older for the most of the cases of ALL. And I was registered as a high-risk patient due to my ethnicity, which is Hispanic, and my age. So we left off end of September, and we pick up in October. And October was, I don't remember much from October. I don't think it was too bad. Same old going out, wearing a mask, stay inside a whole lot, and doing some schoolwork now that I had brought to me by the counselor. But nothing too bad. Just your normal nausea from chemotherapy, and that was about it. And in October, I had to go to the doctors still once or twice a week, and I would periodically have to get blood or platelets because my counts would be low. When you get the chemotherapy, they kill all the good blood cells along with all the bad leukemia cells, and so sometimes I'd have to get replenished, and the transfusions would take, I don't know, about like an hour and a half for both of them. And after that, get my chemo, and I'd be back home sooner than ever. I remember I was supposed to have a German exchange student around the September-October time. And when I was diagnosed, we couldn't do that anymore, obviously, because there was a whole lot that my mom had to do now to take care of me. There was no space for an exchange student. But luckily, I was feeling good enough some days to hang out with them. I went to the potluck at her school when they first arrived. They came over to my house a couple times. I went to one of my friends who housed the exchange student's home a couple times. So that was cool, and I was happy I was able to interact with them and hear about how life in Germany was. And I remember one time I went to play laser tag with them at this place called Zap Zone. And we told the doctor about that, and he wasn't very happy because, you know, Zap Zone at this laser tag, anyone who has played laser tag somewhere knows that everyone's touching the laser guns, and that means germs. And the doctor, not too happy that I was touching all these guns. But I had a fun time, and it was fun hanging out with these people from the other country. They came over for dinner once. I went over to dinner at my other friend's once with a couple of them, and it was a good time. Something I really wish that I got to house one, but I was still very happy with my experience with them. In October, I finally finished my driver's training hours to get my license. I think I still needed like three or four more left in the dark, and I got that in, even though I couldn't see half the time when I was driving at night. But that was cool. So now whenever I got the okay from the doctor, I could go take the test with an instructor and get my license. And that didn't come till April, but finally getting those, I think, 50 hours I needed was a big accomplishment, and I was very happy that I never had to drive with my mom in the car again. So the first challenge that I faced outside of the cancer was a fever. And this all came on because I remember one fall day, my heart was beating pretty fast, and I went outside and helped my mom with the leaves, and I noticed my heart was beating fast. And inside the house, I'd get up, go to the bathroom, or walk from my bedroom to the living room and feel my heart beating fast. And I really felt like slow, And I wasn't sure what was going on, but because my heart was beating fast, I was nervous. And around the same time, I also had a bad appetite. And I did not really want to eat any food at all. I think at one point I was just eating like a couple vegetables, some scoops, Tostito scoops with cheese, and I think hard-boiled eggs. So this same night, I went out and did the least with my mom. I told her, like, hey, I kind of feel, you know, not as upbeat as I usually am. And so she felt my forehead, felt that I was warm, took the temperature, and I did have a little bit of a fever. And as a cancer patient, fevers are a lot different than when you're not, when you're normal, I'd say. It's serious because your white blood cells are not as high as a normal, healthy person. And when your white blood cells are not as high, it means your immune system is not strong enough to fight your usual flu or cold, or it may take longer to get through that phase. And that was one of the things that they gave us a paper when we first left the hospital. And it said, call the hospital if you experience fever. And basically when this happens, you just show up and they monitor you to make sure, you know, you're still okay. You don't get worse. You don't develop really serious symptoms. And so that night, after we found out I had a fever, we packed up stuff in the house, like clothes and snacks and blankets and pillows, and we headed to the hospital. And when we get to the ER, we had already called and said I was coming down, so that was, it was kind of convenient because they'd get me in right away and they'd put me in the isolated room with two doors because me being me with my low white blood cells, I was very susceptible to disease. And in the hospital, the main goal for the fever was to bring it down with, I think, Tylenol to monitor me, like I said, to make sure the symptoms don't get any better, and wait for it to pass. And, you know, fever and how long you have a fever varies from person to person and how sick you are. But the when you're there in the oncology unit, they want you to be fever-free for 24 hours. Doesn't matter how long it takes, they'll keep you there until you're fever-free for 24 hours. And so they'd give me Tylenol, and I remember I was sitting there shivering when the fever would go up, and then they'd give me the Tylenol, and I'd be sweating because the fever was going down. And at this time, I was very tired, pretty exhausted. I remember watching Monday Night Football one time, and I could barely keep my eyes open. And I also still had, like, little to no appetite. And the hospital food does not help that. I remember one night I ordered tacos, chicken tacos, and the chicken was dry. The tortilla was bad. And I don't really remember eating much in the hospital. Maybe some fruit here and there, but that was about it. I think I had my mom get me some watermelon and some fruits that I liked, and I did eat that. And during this time, I think I probably lost like 5 to 10 pounds. I know I also ate some graham crackers, oatmeal, and cereal here and there. And another bad part about this was when you're overnight at a hospital, they wake you up like every 2 hours. They check your temperature. They check your blood pressure. They do everything, which is not, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, that's good that they do that, but when you're trying to sleep, it's not fun. I'd just fallen asleep, and then felt like 2 seconds later, I'm getting woken up. And they have all these IV fluids going through me and into my port to keep me hydrated. And when that ran out, the IV machine would start beeping. And sometimes this would beep for a good 10, 15, 20 minutes until a nurse finally came in and turned it off. So that was annoying. And the more I ended up staying in the hospital through this whole part of my life, I've gotten used to that sound, and at this point in my life, I don't even hear it anymore. That's how much I've heard it. But staying overnight in the hospital, like, with the fever, it's pretty shitty, if I would say so myself. And I, around that, for like 2-3 days, I was finally sent home, and fever-free for 24 hours. And the day I got home, I remember I went over to my friend's house to hang out for a little bit. Me and my mom both went. I think I had some food there, and then I had some food when I got home, and what really got my appetite back a little bit was some nachos with some cheese and some hamburger and salsa and all the goods. And I was very happy that I was eating better again. I was going to gain some weight. And then that night, went home from my friend's house after I hung out with him. And then he came over later that day. And another friend came over later that night, and we hung out. This was around like the fall time, so college football was on. It was a Saturday night, and we watched that. And as they're over, I started feeling pretty nauseous, had a big headache. I thought it was, you know, the chemo side effects, nothing too surprising. So I brushed it off and didn't tell any of my friends, like, I feel bad, because I didn't want to feel bad to make them go home, because I was happy that they were spending time with me. And after they left, I remember my right hand got all like stiff and kind of stuck in place for a second until I like started hitting it with my left hand, and it like, came undone, unclenched. And once again, I just thought, oh, my hand's acting up, chemotherapy. So I didn't think much of it. And as the night progressed, my eyes, I remember, began to hurt pretty bad. And I just figured, you know what? Bad night. The chemo's really messing me up tonight. I'll get a good night's sleep and I'll feel better in the morning. Keep in mind, this was the day right after I just came home from the hospital. And so that night, I went home. I went in my bed trying to get some good sleep, but I couldn't. Most nights I could watch some YouTube and fall asleep within like an hour or two. But that night I watched as much YouTube as I could. I couldn't fall asleep. I was tossing and turning, and I was getting really upset because, you know, I was tired. I didn't feel good. And it was very frustrating. And I think it was about like 4 a.m. I still was awake. And I decided, you know what? I knew we had melatonin in one of our cabinet or drawers in the bathroom, and I found some. I remember saying to myself, I hope this doesn't do anything or interact with my medicine in any way to make something bad happen. And I took it and laid back down and was out pretty fast. And the next morning, that night I slept pretty bad. And the next morning, I remember I woke up with my fist clenched. And I tried to unclench it, but I couldn't. And it was like relatively early this time, like maybe 9, 10 o'clock, and I still wanted to sleep. So instead of saying anything or doing anything, I said, oh, well, I'll just go back to sleep because I'm tired. And I woke up like 2 hours later, around 12 o'clock, and I felt weird. I didn't really know what I was feeling. Really weak, I guess. And I remember getting out of bed. I had to use all my strength, and this was very strange to me. But I was hungry, I had to go to the bathroom. I had to use all my strength to get out of bed. And I remember walking to the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and I walked like I had a limp. Like, I don't know how many of you know what walking like you have cerebral palsy looks like, but that's how I was walking. I remember thinking in my head, oh, well, I guess this is my new walk for now. Like, what's going on? Is this... And then I turned to go in the bathroom, and bang, I fell head first onto the floor. Thankfully, my head hit memory foam rug, and so I didn't hit it on the tile or the toilet, but I couldn't move, and it was pretty loud. You know, me, I was like 110 10 pounds, and it was a big thump on the ground. And I was laying there. My mom came in, asked what was wrong, what am I doing? And I just broke out crying. She said, get up, get up. And I'm laying there crying. I was saying, I can't, I can't. And at that moment, I realized, like, I couldn't move my arms or legs. And that was very scary. I started, like, I think I got really hot and I was sweating and crying. And my mom told me to stay calm. She tried to have me get up and I still couldn't do it. And at this point, when she tried to get me up several times and I repeatedly failed, she was freaking out because there was some medicine that I got called Peg, it was short Peg. I don't know what the full name was, but they told us every time I got it, this could cause stroke. Just remember that. So seeing me on the floor, not able to move, not able to lift my myself up, my mom thought I was having a stroke. And so she goes and calls 911, tells them, hey, I think my son's having a stroke. He's laying in the bathroom floor. He can't get up. He can't move his arms or his legs. And 911 is dispatched, and they come. I remember they came into the house. They came to me. They felt my head. They asked me all these questions, and I was responsive during all this time. Like, I knew what was going on. And the paramedics come, check me out, and the next thing was take me to the hospital to see what happened. So I still couldn't move, so two paramedics lifted me up, placed me on a stretcher, and put me in the back of an ambulance, and off to the children's hospital I went in my first ambulance ride, and my mom had to follow us. And the first thing they did when I was in the ambulance was they tried to get fluids into me. And they put an IV in the back of my hand. And that hurt pretty bad. I think that might have been some of the worst pain I had from a needle in this whole treatment. And they got fluids in me. And we drove downtown, which from my house to downtown was a good 40-minute drive. And they didn't turn on the sirens or anything because I was responsive, I was talking, I knew exactly what was going on, I knew the situation, and so we just took our time, went to the emergency room, the children's hospital, and they stretchered me down. I felt like I was in like a drama TV show or something, because I'm laying on the stretcher, and they're pushing me down the hallway, saying this kid couldn't get up in the bathroom, could be having a stroke, and they rushed me into like the neurology department of the hospital, and there they start asking me all these questions, and they say they're going to do an MRI to check my brain, because if I had a stroke or anything neurologically wrong with me, they could figure that out in an MRI. And by the time we got to the hospital, I could slowly move my arms and legs again, like normal, but they didn't have the full strength yet that I had prior to this happening. And so I go into the MRI, which for those who don't know or have never had an MRI, it's pretty much like a scanning of your brain where they take pictures with all this cool technology. I learned about this in anatomy, and I can't tell you off the top of my head, so sorry about that. But they checked my brain, and it's 50 minutes of just loud buzzing, and they gave me headphones and played like a, I think they just put on some show that I could watch to pass the time, but it was really annoying, really loud, and this whole time I'm scared. I'm thinking, what if I had a stroke? Because a stroke is a very serious thing. It is not something to be taken lightly, so that's going through my head. Here. A stroke is, damage to the brain from interruption of its blood supply. And if that would have happened, that would have been very bad. But they take the MRI, they put me back in my isolated room in the emergency room. Keep in mind, I just left the hospital, like I said, 2 days ago, and here I am back. And after about an hour wait or two, and I'm trying, it's a Sunday morning, so I'm watching football and waiting for them to come. And the neurologist comes into the room, and the hematologist, and they say, it's not a stroke, it's a side effect from the chemotherapy. And so we're like, what chemotherapy? And if you listen to the diagnosis or even the second episode, I mentioned that I had would get chemotherapy methotrexate in my spine. And when you get that in your spine, it goes into your spinal cord, which your spinal cord is your central nervous part of your central nervous system, which is your brain and your spinal cord. And the point of it was the methotrexate would go in the spinal cord and go up to your brain to kill any possible leukemia cells that was in there. Well, the methotrexate went up into my brain, and some of it did not clear the way it was supposed to, and instead got stuck in there. And they, my mom said in the MRI, she could see like this section of my brain that was glowing, and that's what they said the methotrexate was. And they said it was an easy fix. They've seen it before. But luckily, it wasn't anything too bad. Nothing like a stroke. And the cure for this was cough syrup, which was very interesting. But it was better than having to learn how to walk or talk again like a stroke. So I was very thankful that it wasn't too bad. But the result of this was... the doctor no longer gave me this methotrexate in my spine for a long time. Before every procedure where they gave me chemotherapy in my back, I had to drink cough syrup 3 days before and 2 days after, which I still do now to this day when I get spinals. And we were all just very happy that it wasn't anything worse and that the cure or the fixed was just some simple cough syrup. But when I think back to that, I think that was maybe one of the most traumatic things that has ever happened, because when you lose feeling in your limbs, you feel hopeless. And I'm sure you, a lot of people here don't know the feeling of being paralyzed, but if you do, that's exactly how I felt. I was felt helpless. I couldn't lift myself up. I was trying to. My brain said I wanted to get up, but my body said no. So that was very scary. And the rest of November, I felt pretty bad. So I had to stay in the hospital overnight for observation to make sure this didn't happen again. And I had to get help by my mom or the nurse to get me to go, get up and go to the bathroom to make sure I wouldn't fall again or my legs wouldn't give out and I had the strength to walk. So that was very different. And the next morning, I was allowed to go, but before I went, I had lunch and I threw that up, which I'm pretty sure was a result of this whole methotrexate thing. And they said, you look good. Make sure if you have any of these symptoms again, come back or contact us or let us know. Take the cough syrup for a couple days and you should be good. So that was cool. We went back home. And the rest of November, I felt pretty shitty. I remember appetite was low. And just right after it was coming back, I was very excited it was coming back. And then after this, went right down again. So I think I probably lost a little bit of more weight. My immune system was too low or was too poor to go to Thanksgiving at my grandpa's with my mom. So that was very disappointing. But my friend's mom brought me a Thanksgiving dinner, and that was very good. And I ate it. And I think that helped boost my appetite a little bit for the rest of the month and into December. And just when you thought things were getting better, after 2 weeks free of any of these problems, December comes. And when December came, there were even more side effects. And this side effect was very painful, and it had me in agony. And it almost kept me home or in the hospital for Christmas. But luckily that didn't happen. And we'll get into that in the next episode. But thank you for coming to this one. If there's anyone out there who knows someone fighting cancer or knows someone who has been through something very scary health-wise, let them know you love them. Let them know you're there for them and that they're strong. And tell them to be positive. Keep a smile on their face, and everything is going to be okay as long as they stay positive and never let any of these things that attack you keep you down. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Pretty depressing again, but you know what? That's how I cope with this. I was just talking to someone the other day. I've always wanted to let all this out, and what better way to let it out by talking? And that's how I'm going to do it in this podcast. So thanks for listening. If you're on TikTok, follow me at The Joe Show Pod. Follow me on Instagram at joe.burrr with three R's. And thanks for listening. I'll see you next week in another depressing... Ow, I just hit my hand. On another depressing episode, we're live on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, use whatever platform you want. And thank you for coming. I'll see you next week.